This is a Dubai Eye 103.8 podcast.
And we are talking all about staying healthy in middle age on Afternoons with Helen Farmer. I am Natalie Lindo. And Danny, I think it's important while we set the stall out for what we're doing today. Middle age is kind of one of those things. Nobody really wants to believe they're in that category. You and I think we might be.
Possibly. I mean, I think considering when I think back to my childhood or my kind of earlier years, and you would consider, you know, other people, like, I don't know, your parents, whatever, aunties, uncles, and you'd see them a certain age and think they are middle-aged in a sense. Yeah. And I'm 35 now, and I suppose I would have fallen into the bracket of middle-aged when I was younger. But then, you know, my plan is to live to be 100. That's what I'm planning on doing. We'll see if I get there or not. So technically, if that's the case, if that's my target, then I'm not middle-aged yet. But if I'm going to be realistic, I'm probably in the middle-aged bracket.
Okay. So according to the Oxford English Dictionary, middle-age is between 45 and 65. Mm. So, you know, pat on the back there, Danny. We've kind of escaped it.
Later than I thought it'd be, to be honest.
Yes. So I guess it's that period between early adulthood and old age where you're still active. You're probably still working, unfortunately. Fortunately for many of us, it's one of those things that happen. So we think we're in our third age, our first third.
We're breaking it down.
We're going into the second third, really.
Yeah.
Actually, let's
be
honest.
Yeah, the start of the second third, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, middle of the story.
So that's what we're talking about today. How do you stay healthy and fit in middle age?
The Clinic. On Afternoons with Helen Farmer.
And I'd like to introduce our first guest on to the programme. We have Dr. Nasser Al-Jafari. He's the Medical Director of the DNA Health Clinic. So first of all, welcome.
Thank you very much for having me.
So would you agree, Dr. Nasser, with our, you know, estimation of middle age or our definition?
Yeah, you know what, I did the same thing and looked up the definition before I came on the show. And I'm kind of in Danny's boat whereby, I mean, I'm 39 now, and I certainly do feel middle age. And my earliest memories of my father are around about, I remember his 40th.
Yeah.
And that's scary.
Yeah. And you think at the time, 40 seemed so old. You know, you're like, oh, my goodness. And then as you get closer towards it, as we all are, it's a little bit of a... I think it changes. I think, like we say, people are much more active now in many ways, and we expect to live longer. So that's slightly different. So I guess for you, what are your strategies when you're encouraging people to stay healthy, active, and take care of themselves?
Well, I think the important thing just to stress and just to take a step back is that during evolution, we only evolved to actually be optimized at the age of procreation and not beyond. So we're not actually optimized to live to an old age.
Sorry, Danny.
Hence why we're starting to fall apart. So, you know, if you look at it on a kind of scientific level, yeah, there are a number of changes that are happening, particularly when you're getting into your mid to late 30s and beyond. I mean, hormonal levels are changing. You're on a cellular level, your cells just aren't as efficient at repairing, at producing energy. Over a number of years, you're kind of accumulating things like insulin resistance from poor lifestyle, particularly nutrition. We you know, cumulatively probably not sleeping very well. There's high levels of stress in middle age. So in terms of kind of, you know, what are the strategies, probably very similar to, you know, a young adulthood. It just becomes more pertinent because that's when the symptoms and signs start to come out.
Okay. So I guess, you know, the ideal person would take care of themselves from sort of leaving school and continue that as a lifestyle choice. But for many of us, a lot of that exercise and those eating habits fall by the wayside. We start working and we maybe get families, our lives become busier, and the convenience of not exercising or maybe getting a takeaway becomes more of a daily routine.
Well, yeah, and I think the important thing there is that you can get away with it up until a point, and then, as I said, kind of referred to earlier on, it becomes cumulative and then starts to tip you into developing signs and symptoms. You know, I've said this to Danny before when I've been on, there's four facets, I would say, with health. There's nutrition, exercise, stress, sleep, or stress control. Nutrition's a minefield, and really, if we kind of summarize it, you should be eating a whole food diet, so nothing refined. And I've said before that, you know, you shouldn't really be eating anything that your grandparents wouldn't recognize. But there's other dimensions to nutrition. We're learning that kind of frequencies of meals, timings of meals are also just as important. In terms of exercise, it doesn't necessarily mean you have to go and start doing high intensity stuff. You just got to keep mobile. I think later on in life, it really does become important to maintain muscle mass and stability, because the quicker you become immobile, is kind of correlated with lower life expectancy.
What's your experience in clinic as well when it comes to different age brackets and their consideration and approach to health, because even just like, just taking myself as an example, you know, during your 20s, you kind of feel a little bit invincible and you think you're going to be around forever and so on. Yep. And you recover quickly from nights out, from like kind of, I don't know, major sporting events and that kind of stuff. Whereas even I can feel it now, just getting into my 30s. You know, for example, I did a jiu-jitsu class last night and I am in an agony today, whereas I'm convinced that 10 years ago I would have been fine.
Yeah.
And that, and whereas, you know, so, but I think as well, bearing that in mind, when you're 20s, you wouldn't, I didn't really consider, even though I thought I was healthy, I didn't consider things that might go wrong in the future, like, you know, certain diseases that might be more kind of, you know, at risk of, that kind of stuff. Do you find that kind of older people are more aware of their health and the risks of their health?
Yeah, I definitely think there's a sweet point, and it seems to be around early to mid 30s, certainly not beyond the 40s, where people just have either a life event or a certain wake up call, as you said. So that tends to be around about the age that I'm seeing people coming in to actually take medical screening seriously and actually put something preventative in place.
And we're very lucky in this part of the world. Many of us work in places or can avail of, you know, health screening, like you said. So it's preventative. Someone can look at your results and say, look, we're a little bit concerned about this, and you are able to take action. But I think it's scary. Like you said, Danny, I was training this morning and I said to you, I feel like I'm going to fall apart. I've got zero energy and I feel fine now. A few hours later, a bit of food later, I feel a bit better. But I know tomorrow I will be struggling to walk. And that is the truth. And I've done weight training for most of my adult life. And I think even now, as I'm getting older, the recovery is slower, even though it's a routine for me. And I guess at what point do we start going, you know what, maybe something isn't working quite right, and come and seek advice of someone like you?
I think the important thing, as you've alluded to, is that you've just got to listen to your body. And often if you're finding that it's taking longer to recover, or you're just not able to get the energy for a workout consistently, because it's going to happen, you know, intermittently for people, I think that's a surefire sign that there's something not right. And, you know, often I'll see people who are, you know, eating well and training regularly, but there's other aspects of the lifestyle that are impacting. I mean, I think far too much of us, or many of us, are living life in the fast lane, not just in terms of work, but also in the way that they train to try and de-stress, but actually that's just adding to the stress load on the body.
I mean, the play side for me is probably a little bit of a problem too. You know, let's be honest, it's the you know, maybe working very hard, also spending my free time maybe not resting as much as I should. And I think that's something I've certainly noticed as I've got a bit older. Danny, what about you?
I've kind of eased off, especially since becoming a father, in a sense, but then that's a different stress level.
Exactly.
I do feel like I've aged quicker in the last 2.5 years, even though it's been the best 2.5 years of my life. You know, that lack of sleep and that kind of constant being on it and not really having as much time to yourself, that kind of downtime does add up, I think.
Definitely.
I mean, yeah, it's interesting. Yeah, it's interesting one when you come to talk about responsibilities as well, I suppose, and where that like factors into this stress that you're talking about, you know, whereas obviously kind of when you are in your 20s, when you're in your teens and 20s, less responsibility, and you move on, whether it might be career, family or whatever, that all adds into it, and there's less time to switch off, I'd say.
I completely agree. I mean, yeah, gone are the days where you'd finish work at 5, if you ever finished at 5, and go home and de-stress. You're quite right, with kids and family, you're constantly engaged. Very little downtime. Even if, when there isn't anything going on, you're anticipating it. And then, yeah, I know you're big on sleep as well. So, you know, you know very well that I'm big into sort of trying to hack sleep. And even on my best days, I'm struggling to get 7, 7.5 hours, and that's still not optimal.
Oh my goodness. You'd struggle to get 7 hours sleep?
Yeah.
Oh, I couldn't live without 7 hours or more.
Well, that's an interesting point, because, yeah, physiologically we're designed to get 8+ hours sleep. And, you know, in the last 70 years or so, we've decimated to about six hours, 20 minutes on average. And all the science has told us that, you know, this is premature sleep disruption is linked to all
stress,
chronic disease.
And yeah, those kinds of things. I mean, it's interesting you say, Danny, responsibilities wise, I don't have to wake up in the middle of the night with a screaming baby, yeah, or take them on a school run. So I guess I have that luxury of being able to manage my time. I work slightly later than most people, therefore I can wake up slightly later than most people. So I guess for me, I don't work in that routine. But for many of us, And that's something we want to get to in a few minutes' time. We want to have a look at how, once your routine changes, how you can manage staying healthy, because we all have to make maybe a bit more of an effort. As Danny said, when children come along, when the job becomes more stressful, when the career is taking off, you don't have the same time for yourself in the way that perhaps you used to. And, you know, you've mentioned hacking sleep. Are there a few other areas we could maybe look at to give ourselves the best chance of staying healthy?
I think it's about, we've touched on stress. I think importantly, we need to try and build stress resilience and be a bit more cognizant about introducing, everyone talks about mindfulness. And that, you know, mindfulness is just a very broad term for kind of a technique of flipping yourself out of that fight or flight into more of a rest and digest parasympathetic state. And that can be done over a few minutes in a day. So it's just, you know, integrating these sort of lifestyle factors and looking at them as much as you look at kind of brushing your teeth. It's part of a normal routine.
Okay, we're going to continue this conversation in just a few minutes' time. We're talking about health in our middle age. Dr. Nasser Al-Jafari is the Medical Director of DNA Health Clinic. He's staying with us in the studio. We're also going to be finding out what kind of diseases we maybe need to be on the lookout for as we age. Back to the programme here, though. We're discussing middle age. We're having a health special today. Dr. Nasser Al-Jafari is here, Medical Director of the DNA Health Clinic.
The Clinic. On Afternoons with Helen Farmer.
So, Dr. Nasser, we've been talking a little bit about what we can do and things that we should be looking out for. If you could give someone one piece of advice, I was often told, drink more water. What top tip could we all do in the next few minutes that would make a difference to our life?
I think, you know, along the lines of nutrition, rather than just focusing on what you're eating, think about kind of just not eating. As in, you know, what I mean by that is there's a lot of evidence to show that caloric restriction is correlated with longevity, and you heard a lot of people now talking about intermittent fasting.
Yeah.
So it's just as important balancing your feasting with fasting.
Okay. I am one of those people who are trying intermittent fasting. We were talking about it on the show last week when I was coming in to do the news. Helen and I had a chat about it. So I'd be interested to get your thoughts. We'll come back to that in a few minutes' time. Also coming up, we're going to be having a conversation with one of our very own presenters. Mark Lloyd will be here. And we're going to be talking about his health journey and the things that have changed for him. Right now, though, let's focus back on not what the professionals are up to, but what we need to be doing to keep healthy and fit.
The Clinic.
On Afternoons with Helen Farmer.
And we have not just one, but two guests in the studio now. Dr. Nasser Al-Jafari is the Medical Director of the DNA Health Clinic. He's stayed on with us, but also warm welcome to a man who usually sits on this side of the desk. Our very own Mark Lloyd is here too. Hi, Mark. Thanks for coming in.
Yeah, thank you for inviting me. Is it 8 o'clock already?
I know. You're like, what's... First of all, why am I sat in the wrong seat? And second of all, what's going on? So we brought you in, Mark, because I think you've got a really interesting story. Today, we've been talking to Dr. Nasser about staying healthy, whether that's through exercise, things that you can do, and also preventative measures. But for you, you had a bit of a health scare and that's really changed how you lived your life. So tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, I think I'll start with the build up to what caused that health scare. And it was pretty much unhealthy living for probably 20 years. I used to be a professional musician working on cruise ships and then coming to Dubai and working at a lot of the hotels in the city. And, you know, the lifestyle was maybe wake up at lunchtime, go and have some lunch, a fabulous buffet in the hotel, then go back to your room, crash out a little bit, get ready for work, 5 hours performing in various bars and lounges, finish work and then go up to the room, put a video on, order some room service, a curry, a steak, whatever, you know, oh, this is fantastic. And it was just the most amazing life ever, you know, certainly in my 20s it was, and most of my 30s. But that kind of a lifestyle eventually catches up with you. And it caught up with me maybe 10 years ago when one night I just didn't feel myself. I felt very odd, very strange, very weak. I was feeling hot. My arms started to ache and something just told me, Marky, something is not right. Not right at all. So I took a couple of aspirins. I thought, I'll be right. A couple of aspirins bed.
Dr. Nasser almost passing out here listening to this story.
I'll wake up. I'll be fine. I'll be as right as rain. I couldn't get to sleep. And I don't know, the inner voice was telling me, go to a hospital and just get checked.
Yeah.
So my wife got home a little bit later than me that night, and I said, please just take me to the hospital. Just as a precaution, I just want to chat. I just feel that something isn't right. And, well, they got me in there, had a look up and down at me. I was a bit heavier then as well than I am now. And they said, well, just do a little blood test on you. So I wonder why they're doing that. They did the blood test, came back, we're going to admit you, you've had a little problem with your heart. It's had, well, I forget what they called it, but, you know, an episode, something like that. And anyway, they admitted me. The next morning, I'm having an angioplasty, which I didn't even know what one of those was, but I do now. And yeah, I had stents fitted in my arteries. All three were 90% blocked. And
Mark,
had I have not gone in, had I have left it, I could have been in for a very serious heart attack.
So, Dr. Nasser, what Mark's describing is a lot of lifestyle factors that led him to that point.
Sorry,
doctor. I mean, I was watching your face as Mark was telling that story, and you sensed the direction it was going. But also, I mean, Mark is very lucky; he went to the hospital. But I mean, is this the kind of case that, as a family doctor, you see?
I think if you're going to die in your middle ages, then you're going to die of cardiovascular disease, particularly in this country. Now, I think you were probably unfortunate in that, of course, you tick all the boxes in terms of unhealthy lifestyle, but there was probably some genetic predisposition also to develop cardiovascular disease at such a young age.
Exactly. The doctors did say that, you know, have you got a history of this in the family? Certainly my parents didn't, but I think my grandparents might have.
So Mark, tell us the difference in lifestyle now. So that was before. And what's changed? Because like you said, you're a bit heavier, and I know you and I know that your lifestyle's changed in a big way.
It has. I mean, something like that is just the ultimate wake-up call. You know, when you have somebody telling you, had you not have come in the hospital, you probably wouldn't be here. Suddenly you start to think, right, what am I going to do? And lots of people at Mediclinic came to me. They had people to tell me what kind of exercises to do, to start walking for a start. That was the main thing. Kind of curtail my diet a little bit. They weren't suddenly saying, you can't eat this, you can't eat that, you can't eat the other, but giving me the correct pointers of things that I should be eating. Which was a lot more salad-based, a lot more vegetables and fish and chicken.
Was it stuff that you knew already but you just needed to put it into practice, or were you learning some of that information for the first time?
Yeah, I think you just don't think it's going to happen to you. I was totally oblivious of it. You know, I was a well-known DJ on Dubai 92. How can this possibly happen to me? You know, but then when it does happen to you, that's when it really hits home. So yeah, I just changed, and I lost a lot of weight very, very quickly. I was so serious about it. And I lost, at some point, some of my friends were saying, you're losing too much, you've gone too far, you know, put a bit back on, which I did, but I found the happy medium, and I think I'm about 65 kilos now, which is just about right, I guess.
And Dr. Nasser, there are sometimes dangers if you go on that road to lose a lot of weight really quickly too.
Because you're designed to be at a certain body weight and body composition, and some people, when they're kind of focused on improving their lifestyle, particularly their weight, it becomes obsessional, and, you know, can have physical consequences and mental.
The Clinic on Afternoons with Helen Farmer.
Okay, so we are talking all about staying healthy in middle age. Dr. Nasser Al-Jafari is the medical director of the DNA Health Clinic, and we also have Mark Lloyd from Dubai Eye to tell us about his story. Now, Mark, you touched on quite a lot of interesting points, and I think it's prompted a few people to get in touch. Dr. Nasser, I want to get to some of those questions, but there's one thing that I think is quite important. We talked about maybe Mark having pre-existing family history. In terms of genetics and your environment, because those seem to be two factors that were going against Mark, his genetics and the fact that he was basically living quite an unhealthy lifestyle. Which one of them is possibly more important as we get to middle age?
I think generally speaking, people put far too much weight on genetics in general when it comes to health. Far more of the conditions we're experiencing now are lifestyle orientated or influenced. But certainly when it comes to kind of situations like Mark's, there definitely is a role to play with genetics. And often when we find someone, when we're doing screening, where the numbers are coming back high risk, then we would go to the level of genetics. So you can risk stratify people a lot better when you have the complete picture.
And we've had a message come in on 4001 from JJ. Says, can we ever get over the vices from our younger years? I used to drink and smoke heavily in my 20s. I quit both habits when I turned 30. I'm 32 now. Even though I feel much better, I wonder, is the damage already done?
No, I think generally you're pretty resilient in your 20s, so it's unlikely that there's any long-lasting damage. Don't quote me on this, but I think with smoking, if you've not smoked for 10 years, then your residual risk is down to a non-smoker's risk. Regarding the liver, you've got to really pound it consistently and get to that kind of stage of liver cirrhosis before it becomes irreversible. So, yeah, no, I'm sure he's in pretty good state.
Joanne says, and good for you, Joanne, by the way, I think age is just a number. I'm in my 40s, but honestly feel better now than I did in my 20s. I do yoga every day and go jogging at the weekend. And Joanne's probably not alone. There are a lot of people who are focusing on their health and wellness once they get to a certain stage in life. But is there a particular reason for that, or is it just because it's more of an uphill battle?
I don't know. I keep telling my mates I'm going to have a comeback in my 40s. I think it's just some people get a second wind, or they're at a stage in their life where probably that they have got the time again to focus on that sort of thing.
And what's your routine? We've talked a lot about lifestyle, Dr. Nasser. Sorry to put you on the spot, but what do you do that sort of keeps you healthy and all things well and ticking over?
So I try and give myself a non-negotiable chance at 8 hours sleep. Don't always achieve it, but I'm in bed preferably most nights by 9:30. I'm up relatively early.
Wow.
So sleep's a big one. I try and do a little bit of mindfulness in the morning, deep breathing exercises, just relaxation. I've started to do some cold showers because I was recently on a Wim Hof course. For those of you know, Wim Hof is just kind of, you know, there's a lot of benefits behind being cold adapted.
Okay.
And regarding my nutrition, I don't focus too much on eliminating foods, but I'm big on intermittent fasting and time-restricted eating. And exercise, probably not as much as I'd like, but I have now incorporated a bit of an outdoor home gym just to make it a lot more convenient, just to get even 5-10 minutes in a day.
And very briefly, I know it's quite a wide-ranging topic, but we talked about intermittent fasting on this show last week, and it's something that I'm doing and it's something that you're partial to. What kind of benefits can we see from that medically?
Well, I think, you know, if you take the kind of 10,000-foot view, we physiologically are designed to do our activity, including eating, during the day. So everything's kind of coordinated with sunrise and sunset. And the science has told us that we need periods of fasting, and generally speaking, it's anything above 12 hours. You hear a lot of people doing kind of 8, 16 and variations of that. I call that daily time restricted eating. That's great for your circadian rhythm, so that will feed into kind of body composition, weight, sleep quality, hormonal levels. But it's really the benefits you get from more extended forms of intermittent fasting, where you get the cellular regeneration, a lot of what's called cellular autophagy. So you're clearing out, you're doing housekeeping, you're clearing out your old cells and replacing them with new cells.
Okay, amazing. Unfortunately, that's all we've got time for. Big thank you to our two guests. Mark Lloyd, thank you so much for sharing your cautionary tale.
It's been a pleasure. Yeah, listen up.
I know. Thank you so much for coming in and telling us. And also Dr. Nasser Al-Jafari. He's the medical director of the DNA Health Clinic. You can find him in the Mad Nat Jumeirah if you want to get in touch. Thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you.
You've been listening to a Dubai Eye 103.8 podcast. To enjoy lots more from Dubai Eye in the United Arab Emirates, just go to dubaieye1038.com or find them wherever you normally get your podcasts.